Of where we're all coming from. I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. I'm Joe Mayo from the YouTube channel Mean Mr. Mayo, and I am here tonight joined by three co-hosts. I'm going to start off by introducing the queen of all Beatles media, and she's an author of all kinds of things, including stuff like Songs We Were Singing, guided tours through the Beatles' lesser-known tracks, fandom in the Beatles, Michael Jackson FAQ. And she has also a podcast that's called Toppermost of the Poppermost, Beatles themed, right? And other stuff. Is it just Beatles or is it other stuff?
It's Beatles and their contemporaries on the charts at the same time.
Contemporary. So I did that little opening there for you.
There you go.
And I'm talking about the one, the only Kid O'Toole. Hey, Kid.
Joe, Tom, and our mystery guest who is so kindly bowing to me
we'll get to him.
This moment. Hello, hello, and hello, everybody out there.
Next up, we have one of two legs. He has the Paul McCartney show that they do on YouTube and elsewhere, too. It's on all kinds of platforms called Two Legs. And one half is none other than Tom Hunyadi. That's a Paul McCartney show, for those who might not get it.
That's right. Hello, Joe.
And what? It's a special night today, as far as I'm concerned. Is this a first for this show here, that we have this guest on? Yeah, he's nodding.
No.
We have the other leg. Mm-hmm. We have the backwards traveler of
That's
Tom.
Right.
His partner. Also on Two Legs, the McCartney show, and talking about Andy Nichols, who joins us here, and we'll tell you why. Hello, Andy. He also has a show called The Other Leg, Andy's
Music Vault.
Music Vault, another show. Andy Nichols.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Kit. Hello. Hi, Tom. And thanks for having me on tonight. And pinch hitting, as it were, for your regular co-host tonight,
Ken
Michaels.
This is a warm-up to see if you could replace Ken Michaels. No, just kidding.
No,
kidding.
No.
Just a little levity to break the tension. Okay.
And tell everybody, why is Ken not here?
You might be
a pretty damn
why,
good reason.
Yeah.
A very good reason. Ken was invited to a screening of the new Let It Be presentation with Michael Lindsay Hogg giving a talk as well. If anybody knows any more details about that, want to share it, please
do. He was doing a 30-minute Q&A before before the movie premiere. So,
where is the premiere?
Well, it's not a premiere. It's really just a screening.
But where? Do we know?
Well, I mean, if I say, then everybody's going to go there and they're not going to watch this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm as green with envy as this background. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's a great gig, and you know, good for him, you know. So it's important. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Tonight we're going to be talking about Ringo's latest EP. Yeah, Tom always beat me to it. Called Crooked Boy, yes indeed. Is this EP number 5 for Ringo? I think it is.
Four.
Four?
No.
Five or four?
Well, for Andy, it might be 2. 3. I'm going to say
right.
I'm going to say
he's right with that.
I'm going to save that a little bit, but we'll have some fun with that. Brandon, well, we just had that come out for a Record Store Day on April 20th. I think May 31st is going to be like the official release, so to speak, where we're going to get the CD and maybe the black vinyl as well.
Yeah, and that will be also 12-inch as well, because, you know, his last three EPs have been 10-inch EPs. Whereas the first EP was 12-inch. You know how Joe and I like our uniformity. We like everything to be the same on the shelf. But looks like Ringo is having a little fun with us on this one this time
around. Yeah, it's going to be book. If he doesn't do any more EPs, because supposedly he's going to be working on a full-length album, that's kind of weird, because we're going to have Zoom In is like 12-inch. Then we're going to have like a few 10-inch records. And then the other one booking is going to be Crooked Boy, which is another 12-inch. I like the 10-inch format. I do. I know it's a novelty. I love it. I collect 10-inch records, actually, a lot. Whenever I can get them. It doesn't matter whether it's Benny Goodman, Sinatra, Ragtime, anything. Mm-hmm. So I like that. So we're going to be discussing the new EP. But before we do, we have some news. Even though Ken's not here, he usually handles the news. Kit is going to be tackling this news, and I'm sure she'll do a great job. So, Kit, why don't you fill us in on some Beatles stuff that's going on?
Oh, no pressure. Okay. and it's not as long tonight. It's there isn't quite as much going on, but I will do my best to make Ken proud. Okay. So, starting off, many of you know this already, but Yoko Ono will be receiving the Edward McDowell Medal in a ceremony this summer in New Hampshire. One of the United States' leading artist residency programs, McDowell has awarded a lifetime achievement prize to Yoko Ono. The groundbreaking artist, filmmaker, and musician is the 2024 recipient of the Edward McDowell Medal, an honor previously given to Stephen Sondheim and Toni Morrison, among others. The McDowell board chair, Neil Painter, said in a statement on Sunday, "There has never been anyone like her. There has never been work like hers. Over some seven decades, she has rewarded eyes, provoked thought, inspired feminists, and defended migrants through works of a wide-ranging imagination. Enduringly fresh and pertinent, her uniquely powerful oeuvre speaks to our own times, so sorely needed of her leitmotif, peace." Ono's son, Sean Ono Lennon, said in a statement that the medal was an incredible honor. "The history and list of past recipients is truly remarkable. It makes me very proud to see her art appreciated and celebrated in this way." And certainly glad to see that this is being done while, you know, she's still with us and can appreciate it. So congratulations to a great artist. Okay, next on Paul Meyer's podcast show, The Record Store Day, Danny Harrison was a special guest. He spoke about his latest album, Inner Standing, which I reviewed recently for Beatle Fan Magazine. If you want to check that out, I forget the exact issue number. His role as the president of Dark Horse Records, the Record Store Day releases of Wonderwall music and electronic sound. Tom, you got those, right? You picked that up. Joe, you got it too. I was gonna
pass, but it looked so darn cool. I said whatever other people were showing them. So
yep, they are. Those were really cool. And also said that he's working on archival sets for the Concert for Bangladesh and Living in the Material World, with no dates given for either release.
Of course, no dates given.
It's going to be right after Early Takes Volume 2.
That's right.
Please.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I've talked about this before. If you go to George Harrison's YouTube channel, there is a clip of the Ravi Shankar track where it had been restored, and it looks wonderful. So I'm hoping that we're going to get a video release of this of these shows, or bits and pieces of the show, or whatever. But it looks fantastic, and I'm looking forward to a Blu-ray release. I mean, I think we've all got the DVD, right, of the Bangladesh.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, Well, let's hope we'll be seeing both of those in the near future. The next one, this is something I'm excited about, and Andy and Tom, I think you both have this already. Luca Parisi, a good friend of all of ours, his latest book on Paul McCartney called Band on the Run, The Story of a Classic Album, has just been released. Luca told Ken Michaels that he wants to release his follow-up to Paul McCartney, Music is Ideas, an excellent reference book covering all of Paul's music through 1989, but it won't come out until Paul's next studio album is released. So, yep. So that will be coming out sometime in the future, but be sure to check out his latest book, Band on the Run, The Story of a Classic Album. I can't wait to pick that up. Next, according to DMME.net, Eric Clapton has a new live album out digitally called To Save a Child. This is from a concert he gave to an intimate audience in London from December 8th. And the concert, as well as this release, is said to benefit the children of the Gaza Strip. On the live album, he covers George Harrison's Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth, and he is accompanied on this live performance by Danny Harrison. It will be coming out on July 12th on vinyl, CD, and Blu-ray. And thanks to our good friend Tom Brennan for that tip. There will be an all-new documentary film on the Beach Boys premiering on Disney Plus called Simply The Beach Boys. And its trailer includes appearances and commentaries from Paul McCartney, Don Was, Ryan Tedder, Hal Blaine, and also new and archival clips from members of the group. That will start airing on May 24th. And thanks to our friend Scott O'Rourke for that tip. I cannot wait for this documentary. I'm renewing my membership to for Disney Plus for that. Let It Be and the Jim Henson
And the Jim
documentary.
Henson one. Yeah,
Yeah.
I need to get the Disney Plus again as well. So
Yep.
yeah.
I never got rid of it from Get Back. I meant to, but I just haven't. So I've been paying all these years, couple of years.
Wow. So well, there you go. You're all
Oh
set. You're
boy.
all set for all
It's
this
worth
then.
it. It's worth it to
I
keep
still
it.
got to try
Save.
to figure out how to do it with the bleep
Yeah,
bleep.
but hey, good thing you still have it because I mean all
Yeah.
this wonderful stuff is coming up.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
let's see. So, oh, here we go. Graham Goldman will have a new solo album coming out called I Have Notes, coming out on July 5th. The 10cc musician, who was also part of Ringo's All Stars a few years back, I saw him on this tour. He was fantastic. We'll also have Ringo playing drums on one song called Couldn't Love You More, which is said to be inspired by the Fab Four. Other stars collaborating with Goldman on the album include Brian May, Albert Lee, and Hank Marvin. 10cc are embarking on a new tour of which Graham is the only original member. And that is also from Scott O'Rourke. So thank you, Scott, for those tips. Next, Julian Lennon will have a new book out of his photography called Life's Fragile Moments on September 9th. Amazon UK says the images range from picturesque landscapes to urban street scenes, with each shot seeming to tell its own story. This diversity allows the reader to experience the unique perspective of a man who successfully combines different creative worlds. Yet the book is more than just a visual presentation. It opens the door to Julian Lennon's world of thoughts. The illustrated book provides deep insights into the artist's creative process, his inspirations, and emotions. And lastly, this was quite a story that came up this week. Pretty amazing. John Lennon's long-lost Hootenanny 12-string acoustic guitar, lost for over 50 years, has just been discovered in the attic of a rural family home outside of London. It is the guitar John Lennon played in the movie Help, for You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. It was also used on several Beatles songs, including It's Only Love, I've Just Seen a Face, Girl, and Norwegian Wood. Unbelievable. It is about to be sold by Julian's Auctions and is set to go under the hammer as part of Julian's Music Icon Series on May 29th through the 30th. Executive Director Darren Julian said that John gifted the guitar to Gordon Waller of Peter and Gordon, who later gave it to its current owners. For the past 5 decades, it has not been played. Now,
everybody in the UK is now running up to their attic to see if they have anything.
I was just about to say this. Folks, who would forget and say, oh, yeah, I got this guitar from John Lennon, you know, some years ago. Oh, yeah. That's
oh, yeah, that. Attic. Like, really? Yeah.
And I saw a picture of Ringo with the guitar.
Yes. It? Yes, I saw that. Yep. Yeah. So just a lesson, ladies and gentlemen, always check your attics because you never know what's up there. There you go. Before we move on to our main topic, hand it back to Joe. We lost a very notable musician this week. And Andy, I'm passing it to you and tell us about that.
Yeah, just this past week, we lost legendary founding member of the Moody Blues, and that was Mike Pinder, who died at 82 after a battle of dementia for the last couple of years. Mike Pinder was a founding member of the Moody Blues with Denny Lane and Clint Warwick and Graham Edge, and, you know, stayed with the band through their crazy successful times in the 70s and left. But the Beatle connection is he actually plays on Imagine. I think he plays tambourine on I Don't Want to Be a Soldier, Mama. If you pull out your Imagine inner sleeve, you'll see Mike Pinder credited on there. He was also hugely influential for the Beatles for his use of the Mellotron. And obviously, you know, with Strawberry Fields, that was a major, major influence for them. But of course, their early, especially early Moody's albums were very influenced by the Beatles with Days of Future Past. All around that time. So he was 82 and kept a really good relationship with Denny Lane throughout his whole life, too. So there's kind of like a Beatles-Lennon-Wings connection with Mike Pinder. And he's now gone at 82. So rest in peace, Mike.
Thank you, Andy. So, yeah, we just definitely wanted to mark that as an incredible musician, certainly a great figure in well, not just British music history, but rock music history.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ken, for compiling the news for this week and for people who contributed tips for us. We appreciate that. So, Joe, back to you.
All right. Okay. So we're going to talk about Crooked Boy, the EP that came out on Record Store Day at this point of Ringo Starr. And I guess to start with, what we have to say is that this is a Linda Perry work, really, with Ringo, because she wrote all four tracks on here for Ringo, and she said she enjoys writing for Ringo, and it's easy to write for Ringo, because Ringo appeared at Amoeba Records for a little appearance with her, and she talked about a whole bunch of things, like how the cover came to be. She said she wanted, I'm paraphrasing here, like some kind of a sexy type of picture of Ringo or something. Thank goodness, Linda, thank you. We don't get the peace sign again of Ringo, you know? So she Googled, she said, Ringo, like without a shirt or things like that and something. And it turned out that that's what came up. So she went with that picture, which to me looks like 1964. But who knows? You know, I'm thinking almost looks like Miami 64 to me, but I wasn't there. So I don't know.
Taken by famed photographer Harry Benson, who did tour with them. So there's a lot of great photos from Harry Benson, and he's also famous for taking photos of Paul McCartney as well. So matter of fact, he has a book of just photos of Paul and Wings. Book that was released a few years back as well.
Okay. Linda, formerly from the group Four Non Blondes, which I don't really know anything about except that I like that song that I think is called What's Up.
Yes.
I like that song quite a bit. I like her voice from what, you know, and when she sings along with Ringo and on some of these tracks and recent EPs and things she's wrote with him, you know, written with him and also singing with him. I like the blend, which we'll get into a little bit later on. So she wrote all four of these. She produced the EP. And as I understand it, I think she started out with herself and the other musicians at, what was it? Greenleaf, her studio anyway, and then later on Ringo Greenleaf at his
studios.
Place. Greenleaf studio, and then later on Ringo at his place added his bits, the drums and the vocals, which I guess by now at this point in time we're used to this, right? This is how things are done and everything. Too bad they're not all together just doing it, but
yeah,
you know, it's the outcome, the result is what matters, or how it sounds overall, which we're going to get into now, right? So if anybody has anything they want to add at any time, by the way, please, there's nothing formal. Just throw it, oh, yeah, you know, another thing you thought of or something. That's really all I've got to say about this, unless anybody else can think of anything right now.
I just want to mention about Linda Perry. You know, she's very interesting how, you know, she did have that huge hit with her group Four Non Blondes. And she's really become an incredible songwriter and producer, in that she's her specialty has been kind of revitalizing and reimagining the careers of established artists. In the late 90s, early 2000s, she really did that for Pink and Christina Aguilera, particularly. Mm. You know, Pink was, you know, started out as an R&B artist and, you know, wasn't really liking how that was going, and ended up collaborating. I don't remember how they connected, but Pink wanted to go in a more, you know, kind of a rock pop direction for her next album, and collaborated with Linda Perry, and, you know, that album with songs like Get the Party Started.
I was just going to ask you, I love that. You see, I'm yep. thinking there's a connection here, because yep. I don't listen to that stuff.
Yep, that's but Linda Perry.
I love Get This Party Started.
Got
This
Party Started.
It.
Yep, that's
and
her.
I love on, can't get the EPs mixed up with Ringo. I think it's Change the World, Coming mm-hmm. Undone, yep. that track. I love yep. that track. That's a Linda Perry track.
Exactly.
And did she take part in the writing of Here's to the Nights? Is that her as well? I'm not sure.
Oh, no, that was Diane Warren. One.
Oh, okay.
Diane Warren.
That was yeah. Diane Warren.
Well, it's another woman then.
Yeah, another woman. Another know. Woman. Yeah,
I know, because
women rule. But yeah, and then she when she, you know, and that really, you know, made Pink a major star, obviously, and hasn't stopped since. Same with Christina Aguilera. Christina, you know, was you know, totally pop in the beginning, and for her next album wanted something a little grittier. Turned to Linda Perry, saw what she did with Pink. And then ended up with, you know, the album Stripped, I think it was called, and, you know, with Dirty and Beautiful and all those other, and that was Linda Perry too. So it's just amazing, you know, what she's accomplished as a songwriter and producer. She, you know, hasn't done that exactly with Ringo, but I think Ringo knows, you know, how talented she is. And as mm-hmm. you mentioned, has collaborated with him before, but I just wanted to mention that
oh, good.
You know, what a track record she has.
Yeah, good choice.
And she's been wearing those crazy big hats for decades.
Yes.
Okay, so it's just okay. Not a new thing.
All right, I'll take your word for that one. All right, well, I guess there are only four tracks on here to talk about, and I thought maybe we'd go each track because there were only four of them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start with Andy because he's our special guest, but before I do that, we're going to talk about February Sky first. But in general, I wanted to ask Andy because just some friendly banter that we always do, and I know Andy can take it. We always have a joke. We joke all the time. I've been on their show and talking to Andy and stuff about Ringo. I wish there was a way, I maybe could have, taking a piece from one of my videos from the Fest for Beatles Fans where we did a little routine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Andy's looking through records and I take Ringo's Change the World EP and I'm like, yeah, what about this? And he's like, oh, no thanks. He puts it back and goes, give it to somebody who'll listen to it. And he puts it in there because he often jokes around about it. I know, you know, we do this all the time. I'm curious to start with this. You seemed eager about this. You were going to buy this on Record Store Day and you couldn't get one?
Yeah, I was. I was going to get it. I was going to get it because I saw my co-host from Two Legs. He was excited about it. And I was intrigued. I'm like, I don't know why I wanted to give this one a chance and not the other four. I mean, I really loved Zoom In, Zoom Out. I thought that was a good EP, the first one. I really enjoyed it. And I sampled some of the tracks on the other EPs and I just wasn't feeling it. I just didn't like it. Much of what I heard, I liked, really enjoyed the first one. I bought the cassette. I have the 12-inch. I have the single Zoom In, Zoom Out. I liked that. But the last three, four. I just wasn't feeling this one with Tom kind of getting excited about it. I'm like, let me give it a shot. And then the single dropped and I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And then we got it on streaming just the other day, all of it, because I didn't get a copy on like, you know, you guys on Record Store Day, but I've liked what I've heard. And I think it's, I think it's as good as anything he's done in the last 20 years.
Now, are we talking about February Sky?
Or I'm talking overall, but okay. February Sky in particularly, it's like, like Ringo meets Tom Petty a little bit, I think. That's what it sounds like.
Ah, somebody mentioned that in the comments.
And which I mean, I don't even own that comment. One of my good friends, Steve, made that analogy about that track. And so it's not mine. It's his. Oh. But I agree with him. It's like Ringo meets Tom Petty with February Sky. And I think that's kind of what it sounds like. It's like Mary Jane's Last Dance, you know.
I love that version of that. Yeah, I do love that song, by the way.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're really big on the song February Sky.
I like it. I like the lyrics of it. I like Rumble Through My REMs, Made It Through My Veins. The chorus is very catchy. Going to stand up, rise above the rain, start a revolution in these dark days, find the missing pieces that are the vacant. I had enough of February skies. I like that. I like that chorus. I do.
Yeah, I love the chorus. I've only played this like four times, that song. And the other three I only played, I think, twice. So I didn't play them a lot. But I wasn't that big on February Sky at first when I heard it, actually. I was like, I like the chorus right from the start, first listen, and the singing along. I think I can hear Linda in there. I like that harmonizing. I love that. But the rest of it didn't really do much for me until the second time, and then the guitars really, like, wow. This stood out to me, really, really strong guitar in there. And I, you know, I'm trying to figure is, help me out again. Is that Vince, Nick Valenzi on that?
See on guitar on that one. And then there's also Joss Gooch as well. So there's two guitarists.
Right. There's different guitarists lead. And they even have guitars listed, Linda Perry as well, bass, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I like the guitar. I want to, as we go on, I'm thinking of other topics as I, you know, kind of as we go along, I'm going to circle some ideas that I have here. All right, so let's move along and let's say, so Kit, what, tell me, I know you like the song, so I'm dying to hear you lay it on us as far as February Sky goes.
Yeah, when I heard you on your channel saying, you know, you changed your mind about it, I think I wrote on your, in the comments, I knew you'd come around. First time I heard this, I just thought, wow, you know, this is really, you know, this is kind of this is going to be a renaissance for Ringo. I love this track. What I loved about it was it had a modern rock sound, but without, you know, it really retained that Ringo sound. I mean, it wasn't so modern that it made him sound like he was trying to, you know, chase after trends, and that sounded ridiculous, you know, with him. I mean, it wasn't like he was rapping or something. I mean, you know, he wasn't trying to sound, you know, 20 years younger or something. I mean, it really sounded, you know, natural for him, but it had that harder, you know, bit of a harder sound. A couple of people have kind of compared it to Oasis. And
I heard that. I don't know.
It has maybe a little Oasis sound to it, but it's not enough to bother me. I mean, it's, you know, again, it has a more modern sound. As Andy said, love the lyrics, you know, because it is about optimism. Sure, it may be a bit about peace and love, but it isn't hitting you over the head.
Yeah, it's not cliche yet in this song with the same usual words.
No, I just love the chorus. Going to stand up, rise above the rain, start a revolution in these dark days, find the missing pieces that are vacant to the eye. Well, I've had enough of February skies. I mean, that is good songwriting. Very intelligent. You know, it gives you, you know, it makes you want to stand up and think, yes, let's enough of these bad days. I mean, it's just really resonates, as you said, Andy, very catchy. I also love, and it's throughout the tracks, Ringo's voice doesn't have all the effects on it. Now, some people didn't like that. I noticed on social media, they said, oh, you know, it does. Yeah, it doesn't sound as strong. But I like that it doesn't have all the auto tune on it and everything. It sounds more natural. Yes, it isn't as strong, you know, as it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but that's okay. I'd rather have that than the, you know, particularly on the last EP where it was heavily processed. And I like it like this, you know, much better. It just, it sounds like Ringo, not AI Ringo. I mean, I just love this track, and I just thought, what first listen, like I was hooked, and I thought I can't wait for the rest of the EP to come out.
Well, Tom, I don't want to leave you waiting too long, but before I do, I just wanted to, and I'm sorry, folks, I got between allergies and whatever else, I'm keep coughing off mic. I'm trying to do this, but about Ringo's voice, you know, it's funny because again, every time we discuss Ringo, I always say I never really can, thankfully, pick up on auto tuning. I never was able to really hear it as clearly as everybody else seems to be. Occasionally, maybe a little electronic or something, but I've always been okay with it. And this time I'm listening to this, and the first thing I like is that his voice definitely is up front.
Yeah,
you know, I think Ken Michaels always said, and I agreed with him on this, that in some tracks and some albums, his voice seems almost layered or buried in the back. You can't hear him up front. So I like that you can hear him. But my point here is I prefer natural usually, and I prefer everything so you can hear the person. And not, I don't like faking things. But I guess all this time with all his recent EPs and more recent albums, I guess I did like that if it was a auto tune, because this time I'm thinking, great that Ringo's loud, great that he's up front, but I can hear him struggling at times and the limitations of his voice and trying to reach these bits and maybe struggling with it. So it's a little uncomfortable at times, although, you know, I don't hate it or anything. I just can tell, oh, you know, so now I'm aware by comparison what he'd done before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's all I'll say. Anybody could chime in, but I want to finally hear from Tom on this song in particular.
Well, when first hearing it, you know, what's the one thing that we've been talking about while we've been reviewing these last EPs or these last albums? I mean, we've all been complaining about the sameness of his music. So when I first heard this, I was like, oh my God, this is great. I mean, the names that you don't see, I'm not saying anything bad about past musicians that he's worked with. Okay. I love Lukather. I love Walsh. I love Bruce Sugar. I mean, the great people that he's worked with, but it is just so refreshing to hear other people on an EP or an album, and you're not just getting the same, you know, the same rotation of guitar players, the same rotation of bass players, the same rotation of songwriters. I think it's just really good to hear somebody else's take. Yes, we've got little sprinklings of Linda Perry in the past, but with this EP and this title track, the first, single, if you will, from this EP, you know, not saying it's not even my favorite song on the EP, but it's still to my ears, it's still like a breath of fresh air from Ringo, knowing that we're not getting the same old same old, and to go with the voice as well. Look, you know, I kind of like the, you know, we talk about Paul and his the days, early days, you know, we talk about how his rough voice, you know, I kind of like this elder, you know, Ringo, you know, these songs, I think kind of fit his like older voice without the auto tune.
Natural.
It's
more natural. I love Paul on early days. I always say, I think that makes the song. I wouldn't want to hear an Ed Sullivan era Paul singing something like early days.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
but especially on the last track we'll get to too, it's just like, okay, he's a guy looking back at his past. He's not, he should, I don't think he should sound, you know, youthful in any of his so-called biography songs. I don't think he should sound youthful at all.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So yeah, enjoy it. You know, you guys already mentioned the chorus. I like the guitar work, you know, from both, you know, Nick and Josh on this whole EP. But yeah, the great writing from Linda Perry. So, you know,
it just sounds fresh. Yeah. It doesn't sound like the same last three EPs. It just sounds fresher.
Well, I'll get to the other tracks later for me. But because February Sky is the only track that I really like on this. Mm-hmm. For me, but I do like it, and the more I hear it, the more I think this is like a modern Ringo classic.
Yep,
you know, for as far as that goes, so I'm pretty happy with February Sky.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask the you know, everybody a question. Do you think he brought Linda Perry on because he thought that the last couple of EPs were just the same, and he heard criticism and said, "Let me change it up"?
Well, she was already on.
Well, I mean, EP3, but like three, to but... be like a totally different change up with other just... band musicians and stuff, like Tom said, no Lukather, no, you know, all those guys.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. Because I guess his last EP got decent reviews from
Rewind
from
Forward.
Critics. Yeah, Rewind Forward. I guess it got decent reviews from critics, but, you know, maybe he did get some feedback. Because I know, I admit, you know, I gave it a very review. I mean, I mean, and I'm sure he listens to everything I say, but I think, but I thought he really needed a change after that last EP. I just thought, and I think a number of people felt that way.
Yeah, I think this is it. And then another thing too is like this sounds like it was all recorded in the same studio. You know, a lot of some past EPs, it sounded like, you know, people are just sending the files. Okay, here, I put down the bass track. Now here's the file. Now you lay down the guitar track. Here's the file. Now, you know, Ringo's going to add the drums. You know, this actually sounds like it was recorded, you know, all together.
As a band in a studio.
Yeah, as
right.
A band.
Not...
The band is tight. Right. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just has a completely different sound and feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, and even the vocal alone, I think. But there's more than just that. I agree with what Tom said in that regard. It sounds like it's maybe all recorded together, you know, in the same place and everything. That I do get sense that out of it. But you know, then we'll go through the other songs themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, the next track is called Adeline. Okay. And I want to see what we think of that. Let's start with Kit on Adeline.
Yeah, I have to admit this was the weakest track for me. It was okay. I mean, I didn't hate it. It seemed that this one almost sounded like I could picture like this was an English pub kind of song. Like I could picture everybody standing around the piano with their drink, you know, mugs full of beer. And then singing the chorus together. I mean, it, you know, it, and also I would say this is the song where I could personally hear the weaknesses in Ringo's voice the most. Yeah. I felt, you know, that I could really hear it. You know, and also it was an interesting song that parts of it had kind of a reggae feel in tempo, and then it would, you know, the verses did, and then when you get to the chorus, it then had this almost a little bit of a ska tempo, you know, would speed up a bit. And, you know, I mean, the and some synthesizer fake horns, which also made me feel like a little ska kind of feel. And it was another kind of somewhat positive message, kind of, you know, live for the moment, enjoy life, enjoy happiness while we can, love one another. I mean, it was that same kind of theme. I just didn't think it was as strong or interesting as the other tracks on the album. I would just rate this, you know, as average. I will quote, you know, our good friend Matthew Street, who rated this album on his channel, and give this a C. I mean, as opposed to the other songs on the EP.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Kit. Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think of Adeline?
Well, I agree with Kit. I think this is the weakest of the four. However, I mean, it is a nice tempo of a song. I mean, I do like, lyrically, it's okay. I do question the, but everybody can be saved a bit. I wonder if that's got, if that's anything religious or born again, theme, yeah, in there. I'm not saying that that's takes away from the song or anything like that. I'm just, you know, you just look at that lyric and you just wonder, you know, if that's, you know, the meaning behind that. But I do like, you know, life is good, life is kind, take a breath, Andaline. I mean, life is good, but not all the time. So, I mean, it's not bad. It's not the worst song on his EP, but no. By any stretch, but it is the weakest of the four here. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that. But I like the tempo. It's a good tempo of a song. You know, I do agree again with Kit that you can kind of hear a little bit more weakness in his voice on this one. But all in all, yeah, probably a C.
Yeah, and about the, you know, the weakness in Ringo's voice. You know, Ringo, of course, again, I always feel you got to do this. I do anyway. I love Ringo. I'm always defending him, you know. I love, even though he's not a great singer, technically, never has been. I've always liked what he does with a song, anyway. But I'm trying to say that with Ringo, can't afford to have any cracking voice. So he's already, you know, working on that level too. That he's not, you know, he's not John or Paul, say in this case, or even George, maybe at times. Although George can have a little shakiness too at times, but yeah, so I always feel like, I don't know, I think he was sounding better on the other ones. Yeah. Like I said, not to repeat myself. All right, Andy, you're up for Adeline.
I'm gonna go a little different. I actually really enjoy this track. I like Ringo hearing a little bit of the aged effect on this one. It's also a rare thing with Ringo because the song opens up with the chorus right out of the gate. Opens up right out of the chorus, and that's kind of rare. Usually it's like verse, then a chorus. This one's a little bright, a little more optimistic. Life is good. Yeah, it has a little more of those kind of echelons of the peace and love vibe that we've heard on a lot of these other EPs, which you hear in this song. But I like it. I like it. I like the track a lot. It's not my least favorite one on the EP, I'll tell you that. I it's not my favorite, but it's definitely not my least favorite song out of the four. I would give it a good B plus. I enjoy Adeline a lot. It's probably the one I've listened to probably just as much as the other three, to be honest with you. I like it. I like it a lot. I do.
Well, you've got two people agreeing with you in the comments. Matthew Smith said maybe I'm alone in liking Adeline quite a bit. Not the album's best, but good all the same. And Susan Gagne said, I'm with you on Adeline. I like it a lot. So yeah, you are not alone.
Yep. Right. I like the fact that you can hear his aged vocals a little bit, like Paul on early days. And we're not hearing just processed auto-tune. There's some kind of nice characteristic and to hear somebody older singing these songs, you know, and naturally the way they're supposed to be at 83, you know, that's the beauty of it. And I think you hear that charm in that song. I think you do.
I'm Adam. Maybe following that line of thinking about, you know, and Tom said it earlier too about, you know, singing about his life or being older now and singing about his life, yeah, kind of like with Paul with early days. I get that from Crooked Boy, which we'll discuss
yeah,
later.
Yeah, of course.
But,
yeah,
but not
yeah.
so much the theme of Adeline.
No, and it does have that kind of lilting, Beatlesque kind of melt, you know, kind of bumpiness to it, like a. I'm not saying it's Penny Lane, nothing is, but it has that kind of vibe to it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I have to go in the C camp too for it.
All right.
You know, I'm not big on it. Again, these are songs I have not played many times yet. You know, they can grow on you. And because I love the Beatles, and particularly in this case the solo Beatles, I go back to these things and I give them more and more listens. So yeah. Maybe a year or two from now, I'll have a whole different opinion. But I don't know. I didn't like the in this particular song. I didn't like the, I don't know what you'd call it, the tempo changes or you know, up and down kind of thing. And I don't know. I mean, the lyrics are pretty decent though. So it's the song. Maybe I'm not. Music and stuff and the pitch of it and up and down and the direction it takes that I'm not so wild about, but the lyrics about like life not always being perfect, searching for answers, writing towards freedom, searching for an answer that's right in front of you. I mean, some of those lyrics that, you know, I like. I just think the tune, and I was watching, I think it was Things We Said Today with Darren DeVivo, and I think he called this one Goofy.
Goofy.
I think that's the word. And I'm like, that's it. You know, I'm like, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a little strong, but yeah, it's something silly about it or something. I don't like the feel of it as much.
Well, you've got some people in your corner in the comments, Andy. So Lee says Andy knows his stuff.
And okay.
So,
thank you, Lee.
Ed Shen. Ed Shen agrees B plus is about right.
That's about put it. All right. Hello, Ed.
Yeah, oh, so well, is it like a rule?
I guess
you're right and wrong. This is right.
Yeah. So I guess
taking this too serious, guys. You know?
So the vote is split. The vote is because so people agree with us in the comments.
Hey,
It's split. It's cool.
Week 55 gives it a C minus.
All right. See, well, there you guys go. There's Kit, your opinion is validated.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll just go and fight this in the alley later. It's no problem.
You got it.
All right. all right, let's talk about the next track called Gonna Need Someone. Okay. Take it in the alley, you guys.
Please.
I just caught that. Ringo has said in interviews that he felt he wanted a rocker. And then he said to Linda, write me a rocker. And, you know, he wasn't sure at first how to go about it, but then she did this, which I want to talk a little first about it. I guess I'll jump in there first about this one. Obviously, it's the most up-tempo rocking number. The first thing I noticed is I loved Ringo's drums on this. I love the way he drums on it. It's amazing. He's going to be 84. And you know, sometimes, as much as I've always loved Ringo's drumming, on some of the tracks, even like they're kind of like it's more a little slower. He's, you know, boom, 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 boom. It's a little slower. This is pretty frantic for him, I think, and I really like that. It's the first thing I like about it. So I like this track. It's probably my second favorite after February Sky. I like Gonna Need Someone next. I think it's the energy of it that stands out. The lyrics are repetitious, you know, over and over the same thing. But that doesn't always matter, does it? I mean, if you're enjoying a rock song, right? I love Check My Machine, and that's not a rock song. But.
Yeah, I mean, how many times does you say Back Off Boogaloo? You know, I mean,
right? So, I mean, again, I always say I gotta always bring this point home. It's one of my trademarks. It's like when you're enjoying something, it's okay. And another song where you're not enjoying it, say, oh, the lyrics are too repetitious. But if you're enjoying it, yeah, I don't mind that the lyrics are repetitive. It's funny how that goes. But, yeah, so that's what I have to say about it. So now I'm out of here for that one. And let me see. Tom, let's start with you for Gonna Need Someone.
Yeah, it's, again, I love it, the up-temple-ness. I love the rockiness of it. And that's funny because you say the repetition of this. And, you know, you can like the repetition and then sometimes the music doesn't go with it. Or you can like the music and then get tired of the repetition of the lyrics. I like both here on this one. I mean, maybe over time, if I play this nonstop, I'll get tired of it. But I like the concept. You're gonna need someone. It's you know, yeah, why not? But this is another fun one. I love the guitars on this one too. Nick and Josh, you know, I think rock on this one too. And I think it's I think it's Nick that's in the video that just got released.
Yeah,
I love, you know, these videos too. They have a lot of old images of Ringo, you know, throughout you know, the 60s and 70s. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one, he's there. At least this one I saw though. And this one, he's pointing. Yeah. He's pointing in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I also want to say is you know, this side too, I think is far superior than the first side. And I, you know, I really dig this side. So yeah, I think You're Gonna Need Someone is a good side opener. You know, keeps your attention over, although yes, it is, you know, repetitive. But I also kind of like, you know, the Black Dog in the Rain. I mean, it's like you're listening to that. He's like, what is he talking? Black Dog in the Rain.
Well, yeah, it's like I love the song Down and Out. Yeah. Right. The B-side, a Photograph. And it's like, just looked in a fire. What did I see? I saw someone looking at me. I'm down and out. It's like, what the hell? You know, it's like when you're digging something, it's all right.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's a simple song, but it's a great, it's a really good Ringo, good Ringo song, I think.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Andy, tell us about Gonna Need Someone. Hey, how do you really feel? How do you really feel?
This one can't do this one. This is where I hear I'm like, same old, same old. Okay, the tempo is great. It's a rocker. That's great. And I think it's the only one that's got a video, too, right? There's a video dropped with this, too?
No, February Sky got a video,
February Sky did, too. Yeah. But there's a video that dropped for this recently, too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one just, I can't resonate to you. You know, gonna need someone. Gonna need someone. Gonna need someone. Skip.
No, don't skip. You never get a chance to maybe like it later if you skip it.
Joe.
We talk about this all the time.
Joe, for you and only you, to quote Ringo, I'll give it another shot.
Oh, all right. And I'll listen to Little Lamb Dragonfly again.
You better, damn it.
Oh, wow.
See, I have backup with that one because I have a co-host with me on that one who's going to back me up with that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's a fine rocker. It just doesn't do anything for me, you know. It just does.
I mean, again, you know, it's, you know, Back Off Boogaloo, how many times? Oh my, how many times? I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other lyrics going on in those songs before they get to the ending of Back Off, you know.
Listen, if these were as good as Back Off Boogaloo, you know, we'd have 18 formats of it.
Look, I'm going to say, I know your point you're trying to make, but if I can politely interject, definitely the words throughout the song are really the same thing. Well, the beginning says a little something.
Right.
But the one, but like you said, if you look at these lyrics on here, man, gonna need someone, gonna need someone, gonna need someone to love, and it's almost everything.
Gonna right. need someone, gonna need someone, you're gonna need
and
someone
Black
to love.
In the
okay.
rain, Black Dog in the Rain.
Verse 2,
well.
It becomes the overkill, leaving all your love in the dust, breaking down on the way, no one left for you to trust. Gonna need someone, gonna need someone. Black Dog in the Rain. That's about the only redeeming quality lyric in that freaking song. I don't.
I thought I was direct. Wow. Okay.
You haven't met me then.
Oh, well, I have, and I love that approach. You know, no problem. All right. So now I see what Kevin.
Oh, Wink. Wink says, "Oh my God, how can someone not like Dragonfly?" See, Joe.
Well, that was a bad example because it's not a horrible song. Obviously, Little Dragonfly. You know. So that's a bad example.
Now, if he didn't like Magneto and Titania Man, that would be an issue.
That's strange. you'll never live that down.
I have to interject. I just got a message, and people have said it in the comments. I don't think we talked about it in the news, but a trailer just dropped for Let It Be.
Oh,
on YouTube.
I gotta make a video. I'll see ya. gotta be the first with a video.
Scott Erickson just messaged me that there's a new trailer for Let It Be that just dropped on YouTube while we were doing our show.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, okay. After the show.
Right.
Now they're all gonna go. That's the line. Let's see how many we lose. Well, we're 72 people right
now. Let's see how long we can stretch this episode. So.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to make this one a short one if I can, but anyway.
Oh man.
All right. Not because of that, but.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Kit, I'm dying to hear your opinion.
All right. I thought this was a banger. I really did. I mean, yes, the lyrics aren't anything brainy. I completely agree. The Black Dog thing was a little interesting. I didn't know if that may have been a Led Zeppelin reference. I don't know.
And Fool in the Rain, man.
Yeah. Who knows? I wondered about that. Yes, nothing brainy. I agree. But it was fun. You know, this is just pure fun rock and roll. I thought Ringo's drumming on this was great. I mean, for an 83-year-old, folks, 83. You know, I mean, his fills on this were fantastic. Loved the guitar from what's his name again? Nick Valensi. I mean, I could hear a little bit of "Are You Gonna Be My Girl?" A little Jet there, but you know, of course, because that's what he's, you know, is from Jet. But it was, I thought it was fun. And that's all it's supposed to be. I mean, you know, it was just great to just crank and, you know, crank up and just enjoy. And again, to hear an 83-year-old rock like this is just inspiring.
Yeah,
I think.
Very much.
It's so great to hear him do this.
Fair, fair, Kit. That's real. That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
So yeah. if you look at it from that perspective, as I said, yes, lyrics are nothing brainy, not complicated, but to hear him drum on this and to just hear him have fun, you know, and just hear this fun song, I enjoyed it. As I said, I thought it was a banger. Not as good as February Sky. You know, February Sky is kind of a whole different category, but I just thought this was, as the kids say, a fun bop. You know,
it was fire. That's what the
fire.
Kids say. It's fire.
Fire.
That's a new thing. Oh, I don't.
It
well,
is.
Well, in the comments, and I, everyone has a choice when to not to raise their voice. All right, here we go. No. Seriously, Christian says in here, "Hello, Goodbye" doesn't have a lot of lyrics. People, that's a technique we all do. Oh, you like this song? How come "Hello, Goodbye" doesn't have a lot of lyrics? And you, that's okay.
Yeah, thank you.
What can I tell you? "Hello, Goodbye" is day and night from this song. As far as I'm so much better than "Gonna Need Someone." I think, in my opinion, am I alone there? It doesn't have lyrics, but it's got so much other stuff going on in it and stuff.
Comparing a Beatles song to a Ringo solo song in 2024 is not a conversation.
Well, I will. No. I will definitely compare what you're doing to a Ringo song in 2024. I think what you're doing is lesser than February Sky.
Oh.
Oh. Now
it's hard
I don't
to.
Know.
Oh.
I don't know, Joe.
I always pick on what you're doing.
Why?
Well, what are you gonna if you're gonna find a Paul song from the Beatles? That's not, you know, like something like "Why Don't We Do It in the Road" or something.
Send
what are you gonna pick?
Email to Joe Mayo, courtesy of Infinity Radio.
I mean, I love what you're doing. I love all everything. But the thing is, I'm trying to look for, like, you know, it's not "Let It Be," "Hey Jude." I'm trying to look for something that's just from Paul, but, you know.
Of course, it's gotta be a Paul song, right? Right, Joe? It's gotta be a Paul song, right?
There must be a reason why I was using Paul. Well, how come it's all about Paul and everything else, except we want to criticize that it's not all about Paul?
By the way, I just want to point out in the comments there are a couple of people backing me up on Magneto and Titanium Man.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
Susan
thank
said
you.
Something.
Right? Thank
so
you.
Susan doesn't like it either, so you're all good.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody, you said something about what you do. Name a song, folks. Is there right? What's the weakest Paul McCartney, if you're going to pick one, a weak filler type of Beatles McCartney song? I know it's very hard to find. Very hard.
Wild so, Honey Pie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There you go, Tom. There you go,
something
partner.
Like, something like
there
that.
You,
yeah,
you want to compare February Sky kind of Wild Honey Pie?
No. It doesn't automatically.
There you
I
go.
Always, I wish Ken was here for this. It doesn't always go in my book. It's just because, you know, something's a Beatles song. It all America is better than. So, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm Amazed is better than certain Beatles songs.
I'll agree with that.
Come on.
Yes.
Individual, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes,
don't know,
certain.
But you get the picture.
Yep.
But that's,
yep.
That's all right.
All right. So split. So sort of split vote. Somewhat split vote
on that one. Okay.
I'm gonna need someone. All right. So.
All right. So now we're gonna talk about "Crooked Boy," the title track. And I want to start with Andy for this one, for whatever reason. Let's do, because you went last time, but
for
Andy,
whatever reason.
I want Tom last on this one because I already know what he thinks. So what do you think, Andy?
I think this is probably right up there with "February Sky" for one of the strongest songs on the whole EP. I think it's another classic example of Ringo talking about his past. He's done this a lot on his albums of the last 10, 15 years, going back to Liverpool 8. Whenever he talks about his youth, it resonates. And this is just, this is another example. Lyrically, this song just kicks ass. And when Ringo talks about his youth and the old days, you heard it on Ringo 2012. You heard it on Ringo, the song in Liverpool, Liverpool yeah. 8. This is just the next line in that of these songs. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great closer for the EP. You know, he's talking about himself, you know, about a kid who, you know, fell into a coma, then got back up on my feet, a sickly boy that found his own way. Finally felt like I belong, the crumbling plaster on the ceiling. Let me escape to Prince's Park. Prince's Park, if anybody doesn't know, is a section of Liverpool that he's referring to. Okay, and let me escape to Prince's Park. That was the furthest thing from where Ringo was living, because Ringo lived in the Toxteth in the Dingle, and Prince's Park is a really nice section of Liverpool. So yeah, we have that context with it, with these lyrics. It resonates, and I think it's a teddy boy who found his own way. Things like that. I mean,
but that comes in at the end.
It does. It's the last. It's the last. It's the last.
He says crooked. Or does he say crooked boy before that? Or and then he at the end. It says teddy boy.
A sickly boy found his own way.
And then at the end, it becomes teddy boy, which I think is cool.
That's cool. And I think it's another classic Ringo biographical song talking about his past and being okay with it. And it's good. I put it right up there with Liverpool 8 in Liverpool, The Other Side of Liverpool. What's that other track he did? Bring it something with the boys. What was that track?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, and I can't think of it.
Oh, man, you got me. How about Rory and the Hurricanes?
Rory and the Hurricanes. It's in that vein.
Yeah. Is it really?
I think so, and I think it's a fine closer on an overall really, really good EP, and I'm very happy with it. And I don't know if it's that or February Sky, which I like the best. I always go back and forth, which one I like more, but lyrically, this one is really good.
Okay. I know how Tom feels. I know already, and I know how Andy now feels. I don't know Kit yet, but I'm good. I think it might be a good point for me to go in there.
I got some stuff to say about it.
Okay. You'll have your moment. Now, Andy, how does
it
go?
Hold it, Tom.
Andy, how does it go? How do you do that?
What?
Is that how you do it? Yeah. The music does nothing for me on this track. The song does nothing for me. The lyrics, the sentiment, oh yeah, absolutely. They're not even his. I mean, Linda Perry wrote the song. You would think that Ringo wrote this. I mean, I'm surprised it's not a co-credit. He didn't like feed anything to Linda, because it sounds like he could have written these words, you know. But I just, that's all I really wanted to say about it. I loved it, you know, the words and the story, the actual tune or whatever. The song doesn't do anything for me, and I'll say again, at this point in time, it doesn't move me. The music doesn't move me in it. I like the sentiment and the words. We'll see what the future brings as I listen to it more and more. But as you were naming those songs, I was gonna, you named them before I in comparison, which I was gonna say, to me, I was gonna say this is no Liverpool 8, this is no Rory and the Hurricanes, and it's no The Other Side of Liverpool. To me, those are all superior to this song, as far as, in my opinion, the overall sound of it and the, you know, the experience. I'm talking just lyrics, but I think the other songs are more fun and interesting musically. So that's my feeling on it. Okay. So, all right, Kit, I don't know what your thoughts are on Crooked Boy, the song. So.
Well, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm in Andy's camp here. I no longer want to fight Andy in the alley. I really like this one. this is a great one. Like Andy was saying, I'm a sucker when it comes to Ringo's autobiographical songs. I love when, you know, he's singing about what, you know, life was like in Liverpool and growing up and all. And it is kind of amazing that Ringo didn't write this, but Linda Perry did. However, I don't know if Linda either, you know, maybe was based on stories that Ringo told her, or she just did a deep dive into his life story, something. She obviously did. Because the lyrics are just, you know, so so thoughtful. I mean, so good. I mean, you know, in the way about, I mean, you know, we all know his story about how, you know, sickly he was as a child. And what I love about the lyrics too is, and some of you out there have been, you know, talking about how it's nice that this album hasn't been hammering the peace and love thing. He does talk about peace and love in this song, but what he does is saying, this is why I'm about
this is why
I love that. I love that this, you know, that the lyrics are about this, like, this is what I've gone through in my life, you know, the sickness and about, you know, being a sickly boy and then turning into a teddy boy and everything I've seen. And by the way, you know, his voice isn't perfect on this either, but it works because
on a song like this,
spot on, Queen.
I would take it in a song like this more.
Yeah, exactly. Cause it's about his story. It's about his life experience. And so I love that twist in the saying, you know, this is why I'm about love and peace, because this is my life story and I've seen good and bad and I've been through all of this. And so there's that, also that wonderful, wonderful line. Okay, here it is. I banged on tins and made lots of noise.
Yes.
When I hear a sad guitar, I gently tap my knees, and all the people passing by, I send them love and peace. I mean, you just picture him like sitting on a bench in a park.
And no autographs.
Like, yeah, no autographs. But,
I mean, that song reminds me, you hear guitar and you hear gently, you hear sad. I mean, that just reminds me of while my guitar gently weeps.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know? But he's just like reflecting on his life. And you know, I love this song. I love the lyrics. It's a way for him to express peace and love, but not just, as I said, hammer us with the message and explain, you know, this is why I have this outlook on life. Love it. Absolutely love it. Right up there with February Sky, as you said, Andy.
Oh boy, can I take it? Can I take any more? Let's find out. Okay, Tom, how do you feel about Crooked Boy, the song?
Linda Perry wrote Ringo Starr a masterpiece with this track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she did her research. It's well written. I think Ringo does an excellent job. I love, 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 love the guitars on this track. You know, and I love the fills. I mean, you know, Ringo sings and you can get the, you know, how George wanted to do a little guitar riff in between lyrics. I kind of like that with this song. I love what Nick and Josh bring, to this guitar. I mean, to the song with their guitars. I love the Kit. You stole my thunder on that line. I love when I hear a sad guitar and I gently bang my knees or whatever he's saying. It sounds like he's saying knees, but on the lyrics, it says keys.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, it's a keys. Oh, sorry about that.
but when I hear it, I hear knees. You know, as it's like banging out. Yeah, that's what I hear. And I love that the sickly boy found his way, and I love that it ends with a teddy boy found his way. I love I love that part. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, we all know, you know, what he went through in his younger days or his early days, if you want to. You know, and Andy, you said it beautifully, you know, with the whole Prince's Park thing, you know, he couldn't be further from that. And then here he is, and, you know, he's living the great grand life. And he's probably going to outlive all of us. He's probably going to be right up there with Keith Richards and Willie Nelson as the last three people on the planet.
That's right.
it's for me, it's a fantastic track. The best song on the EP, for me, for my ears. And I don't care if anybody disagrees.
Thumbs down. I don't care what you say. Okay. A masterpiece. Okay. That's your opinion. Your title. Like I said, the lyrics are great. Not many people talked about the tune or lack of, or the music. The guitar, I heard you say you love the guitar, but
And I like the change of pace too, by the way, that it is kind of a mid-tempo.
Because
if it had been another up-tempo song, I mean, it would have been boring. I mean, to have the whole EP like that, but to have it close on that mid-tempo kind of sound. So
yeah.
I would love to hear
Linda talk more about this track. I mean, did she do the research? Did Ringo give her stories? Obviously, if you're a Beatles fan, you know Ringo's story to begin with anyway. So I'm sure she had some knowledge. Yeah. But I'm curious if Ringo gave her a few nuggets, of his earlier days, you can maybe throw this in. But then maybe he would have wanted a writing credit.
I wonder what if he didn't, as presumably he didn't feed her anything.
Right.
I wonder what he thought. He must have been touched by these lyrics.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they really resonate for him, for his story. I mean,
I have a question for everybody. Where do you rank this EP out of all of them?
He just took my question as the moderator.
I didn't know you had that.
I'm just playing with you. Let's do that. Start with Kit.
Oh man, I'm trying to decide if I would rank, because Zoom In has always been my number one. But this may replace it. I think this may be number one, and Zoom In is number two.
Very good. Okay, Tom, how about you?
I can see this one and Zoom In being like 1A, 1B, mm-hmm. and both of them fight for that position. Yeah. I mean, the only reason why Zoom In might have an edge is because it's got five tracks rather than four. Oh.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, Andy, did you say before you only heard the first one, or you don't know? You heard them, but you don't have them.
No, I own Zoom In, and I sampled the other three.
Right.
So I sampled the other three, but I don't own the other three, so.
Can you rank them, or you don't? You can't necessarily.
I mean, for me, it's just this one. It's Crooked Boy and Zoom In. Zoom In for me. I mean, it's 1A, 1B. I mean, the fact that Kit said that and Tom said that kind of validates how I felt about the music on the other three EPs. So if Tom and Kit are both going, this is like, these are the two best so far, I kind of feel validated about kind of skipping the other three EPs. By and large,
there are moments on the others.
Well, I think you said, if I remember from my dim memory, you weren't wild about even McCartney's song on the last one, Feeling the Sunlight.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Because I really liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we wanted Ringo to kind of like step out of his wheelhouse, right? I mean, this is the kind of things that
I don't see that.
Now, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, for Joe, it doesn't work.
I don't get the feeling he's stepping out of his wheelhouse at all, except for the fact that his voice is natural. Because Gonna Need Someone is just a rocker, just like he's done that before, on the other ones. And Crooked Boy's song about his life, he's done that before. Adeline, I don't know. Maybe Adeline could just be any track.
But do you feel the sameness though with this record as you felt?
Matter, because my opinion is it's fighting for the bottom spot along with the Change the World. I don't know. I have to listen to Change the World again.
Wow.
Well, I like Coming Undone better than Adeline or Gonna Need Someone or Crooked.
Well, Coming Undone is a fantastic track. I definitely give you that. Yeah.
I mean, but I'm just saying that's just one track, but I can't remember. But I mean, he had, even though it's a cover, I mean, he had like, that's the one that had Rock Around the Clock on it. Change the World.
I think it did.
I'm just trying to say that for me, I mean, I just can't, other than the fact, like I said, Ringo's voice is up front and he's using it natural. Is Tom still there? Can you hear me?
No, he's not walking off. Don't worry.
Rewind forward, I think.
I'm just looking at Rewind Forward, and I was just looking, Miss Jean, too. I mean, listen, Rewind Forward's got some really good stuff on it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And don't forget Free Your Soul that we all liked.
Yep. We have a mention of that. Yep. Ollie
and Perry. That's different for Ringo. Very different.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just saying, Tom, in my opinion, I think that, I get like the voice, the natural voice, the upfront voice is a refreshing change in a way, even though I think it's sometimes a miss with too much limitations in his voice. But I like that that's different. And also, you were saying earlier how it all sounds like it's more together, like it's all recorded together.
But it sounded like it's recorded live in one studio rather than everybody, you know, recording their stuff in a separate studio. Yeah.
But the songs themselves, for me, I don't see any big departure for them at all from anything really. Just mostly the sound, you know, like you said, how they recorded, production maybe, and that. But the songs themselves, to me, sounds like almost anything else that he's done. For me.
Right.
I don't hear anything different in them, you know. Even like something like February Sky is the only track that I really, really like. The other three. But like I say, he's done rockers like Gonna Need Someone, and he's done better introspective things like the Liverpool songs that he did. And Adeline could be anything. You know, I mean, I think sometimes we forget, or I know I do, all the other songs on every EP and every track. You know, there's a reggae one I really liked on Zoom In. I forget what it was. It's been a while.
Yeah. I don't know. Just for me, I just felt like it really, with the exception of Adeline for me, and even then, it's still, you know, I didn't hate the song or anything, but I don't know. I just really liked the forward, you know, more modern sound on this. The lyrics for the, you know, not entirely, but for at least Crooked Boy and February Sky, the lyrics were strong. I thought he sounded great without, you know, the mix was better on his voice without the effects. I just was really excited about this. I just thought, to me, it was a bit of a change up for him, at least for modern, you know, recent times.
Yeah, production.
Yeah, the production. I just thought this was a solid, solid effort.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about Bruce Sugar. Bruce Sugar has done some great stuff with Ringo, but I just think it was really cool to have somebody other than Bruce Sugar produce or co-produce an EP or an album with Ringo.
Yeah, change is good. Change up.
Again, all of you, and again, I want to fight when you're the only person, it's like you got to be wrong, you know, so to speak. But the thing is, again, most of what you were saying, and I agree with, is the production, the style, the musicians, the actual songs themselves to me are no big ground. I think some of the other, I can't remember them all, but I remember some of the reggae ones were different. The Free Your Soul was like, what's the word?
Well, that's a great one. I love Free
that,
Your Soul.
That was more different altogether. And man, I can't remember all the ones on there. I wish I could right now. I wish I had them all in front of me, all the tracks. And somebody said in the comments about Miss Jean. I knew I liked Miss Jean, but I couldn't remember what it was. Somebody said how it rocks.
Miss Jean was good.
So I'm like, well, there's Gonna Need Someone. There's your Gonna Need. So he's done it before, rocking hard. You know, it's not, I mean, but his voice is definitely more prominent.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the tracks again for Rewind Forward, I mean, this was an excellent EP as well. I thought this one was pretty good too.
Do you like that better than Crooked Boy?
No. I think I liked Crooked Boy a little bit more.
Yeah, Ed Chen mentioned Teach Me How to Tango. That was
good. Yeah, Teach Me
to Tango. I remember that.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was a good one. Yeah. Well,
it's been a while. I guess. And somebody else said you could get a great album out of this, Ali Perry's. If you put like your favorite tracks, you could make a nice album out of this.
You can.
You know?
Hey, maybe that's a future show.
I said that to Tom. He's going to take all these songs and just throw it and then put out an album with all of them. You know that's going to happen.
Somebody suggested that to me today on one of my live streams. Why don't you just try doing that? And I thought,
not a bad idea.
We will
make an album out of all the best songs on the EP.
Right there, take all the EPs, take our favorite tracks, and then make an album out of it. Let's do that.
Maybe
this is great. This was another great show. I mean,
it really was.
But I wanted to say, I don't know if anybody saw there's been some new interviews with Ringo going around. And one of them, which to me was kind of sad, something he said, but also wound up being funny. And I know I sent you a clip. I don't know if everybody watched it, but for the people out there that haven't heard the whole thing, Ringo was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, "Are you going to do these songs live on tour?" And he said, "Nah, I'm like, I don't do new songs live." And why not? Well, he said something about, "Well, I talk about them. I mention it." And then, of course, he always does that thing. And I ask how many people have it, and five people have it. Right. He says, so, you know, and then he says people either go to get a T-shirt or go to the bathroom when, every time when I do this. I mean, Ringo's not unique in that. People tend to do that through material anyway. And then he tells the story about how I believe that he went to see Elton John, I think, in England once with Elton John's mom. And they're both sitting in the audience. And Elton John says, I'm just going to do songs from my new album tonight. And he said, and half of the place left, including me and Elton's mom.
Oh, no.
It's sad because, listen, we all have our ways of listening to music. Jeez. And I get that. But we never knew we were going to like those hits until we first heard them.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, if you like an artist, if you say that John Cougar Mellencamp is your favorite artist, but yet you haven't listened to anything he's done in the last 20 years, is he really your favorite artist?
He's not.
Yeah. You know what I
exactly.
mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not. Right.
Yep. Well, no, I mean, I don't agree with Ringo. You know, I think he should at least do, I mean, one song, at least do one song.
At least one of the rockers. I mean, I think that'd play great live. I mean, love to hear it.
Yeah. I agree. But, you know, he always does that thing. How many people have it? 1, 2, 3. You know, and I'm like, don't do that, man.
I was going to say, don't sell yourself short.
Like if I ever met people, say, what would you say to these people? First thing I tell them is how much I love his stuff, including, you know, well, maybe not Crooked Boy as much as the other ones, but I would say, you know, I like new stuff. You know what I mean? What are you rolling your eyes about, son?
All right.
Crooked Boy. Anyway. All right. So any other thoughts? I think we covered everything.
Yep.
It was a good
discussion.
Was any audience the comments that you want to mention there, Queen? Or...
All right, let's see here. Okay, I'm just skimming. We got some good comments about we should do that Ringo EP show in the future. So I guess we will do that. Let's see here. I'm trying to skim here. Let's see. Susan said she would rank this album at number one.
Oh wow.
Yep. Ollie Perry's ranking of the EPs: Zoom, Rewind, Crooked, 3, and Change. Change was it? Change the World.
Change the World.
Yeah. That would be his ranking. Let's see. Let's see. KSFHNFA fan. I'm sorry, I probably massacred that. Either best or second best of them, of them all. Zoom In is what I'm sure not sure of, still not sure of ranking. Yeah, I mean, that was that's
it's been
tough.
So long since that one, that's not fresh in our heads, but I think we went pretty positive on that. If I remember.
Yeah, because that's kind of the set the standard, because that's Zoom In is a great, great one. Let's see. Lee said, Ken Michaels, we all miss you. We will tell him that. But Patrick Sweden said that he hopes Andy will be back on Talk More Talk in the future. Well, I think absolutely. We would love to have you back.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Talk More Talk.
But you're going to have to do Ringo shows.
Only Ringo shows.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll watch then.
Yeah. I hear you.
Absolutely. Oh, someone's comparing. This is interesting. I'm assuming Crooked Boy comparing it to the end of the end and early days. Interesting.
Oh, man. The end is this masterpiece.
I mean, I hadn't really thought of that. That's interesting. Let's see. And yes, Patrick said, I'm looking forward to the full album of Country Ringo.
I cannot wait.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's going to be really great.
We'll have Andy on for that one.
Yes.
Do that. Country Ringo. Yeah.
I'm game.
Good.
I hope that happens. I hope Ringo said he was going to kind of do that.
Oh, he's worried. Yeah. I mean, I am psyched about that.
All right. Well,
thank you.
All right, everybody. So, I guess we can talk about, as I flip my pad over here, what we've been up to lately. And I'm going to start with me and get me out of the way. Usually I have nothing to say, but this time I kind of do, except that I don't know what I did here. Okay, I got it. All right, so for me on my channel, on YouTube, Mean Mr. Mayo, I forgot to talk about this last time. I was a video idea that I had that I'm proud of. I don't know if the video came out as well as I'd hoped, but back on April 5th, we were celebrating, or some people were, about how the Beatles had the top five songs on Billboard in 1964. Ooh, what an achievement that was. And I made a video trying to debunk it. And this is me being completely objective about a band that I love, of how it wasn't such a, it's a reason why they had advantages, or why they were able to do that, and why it's never been duplicated. So I made a video about that. It was back on around, yeah, it was on April 5th. I did it on the day. So check that out on my channel. Why I think, yeah, it's nice to see, but my reasoning as to why they were able to pull it off, that was unique. As a unique, nobody else had that, I don't think. And then I have a new series. Some people are watching it that I'm trying to think of the right title. I'm calling it Beatles Unboxings. I met a guy, Mike, and he's an amazing, fanatical Beatles collector. And he's got tons of Beatles stuff, rarities, memorabilia he's been collecting his whole entire life. He's in his 60s. And during COVID, he actually ordered a lot of eBay items and has them in boxes still, and hasn't opened them. So he's got like these freaking boxes all over his place, and he can't remember what he bought or when. And every day the mailman brings something else from eBay. And the idea is to get together in this video series, Beatles Unboxings, and he will open something and see what he got, which should be a lot of fun. I was recently on Canadian Stud Muffin's channel. That's Larry Graves, Canadian Stud Muffin, did a show where we ranked me and also Beatley Tone from Beatley Tone's Beatles channel, and Larry. We all ranked 26 solo Paul McCartney songs, but from his albums, first track on the album, whatever the first track was, we wrote down the 26 songs, and then we went from least favorite to most favorite tracks over. That's on Canadian Stud Muffin. And finally, I'll just give a little plug for my movie channel, which is dead in the water right now. I'm not doing anything with it. Still thinking about taking those videos at the movie channel and moving them over to my main Mean Mr. Mayo channel. Whatever, I don't know. For now, the channel is called Mayo's Movie Mayhem, which is a mouthful. Mayo's Movie Mayhem. And one thing that we do is Tom Hunyadi usually joins me on Wednesday evenings, if we can, you know, if he can. And we do a live show where we discuss movies and television over on Mayo's Movie Mayhem on Wednesday nights. So it's live at 9 p.m. Eastern. So anyway, that's it. Now, usually I don't have much to say. That time I had a bunch of things.
Yeah, you had a lot of news.
I'm going to start including everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, there you go.
All right. So let's go with Kit next.
Okay. Well, first of all, you can find us here on Talk More Talk, of course, right here on this channel. Don't forget to subscribe. We're trying to hit the big 2000. So please keep subscribing. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. We want to get up to that big, big number. So please do that. You can also find us on virtually any podcasting platform. You can find us on Facebook. And if you hit the like button on our page, you'll be notified of all upcoming episodes. You can also email us at talkmoresolotalk@gmail.com. Please let us know feedback. If you have ideas for future episodes, please let us know. You just might find an idea for in a future show. You can find us on Twitter, TalkMoreTalk1, the number one. And you can find us on the web at TalkMoreTalk.com. So those are all the places you can find us. Now, for me, you can find me. There's a couple new episodes. of Toppermost of the Poppermost. Our April 1964 episodes, actually two of three parts of the UK charts and US charts. We call them side A, B, C. We had to go to C this month because we had so much to cover. Sides A and B are up, and the Beatles have now fully taken over the US and UK. It's official. And but we talk not only about the Beatles, but as we mentioned at the top of the show, we talk about their other bands that were on the charts at the same time, those that have direct connections to them and those who influenced them. It's a great show. We have a lot of fun doing it. So please do check us out. The links are on my Facebook page as well as Talk More Talks. My class, the final class in the British Invasion series I'm doing, starts May 9th. There are only a few spots left. So if you're going to take my class, you might want to enroll really, really, really soon. It's about the what I call the third wave of the British invasion, which is punk and new wave, even covering a bit of British ska. It's and synth pop. So it's really fun. 70s, 80s, and beyond. So
you're copying the tickets for us to get in that, right, Queen?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. You can talk to Ken Womack. He's the man. He's the man to talk to about that. And so I'm in the midst of preparing right now. It's going to be a great, great class. So it meets starting May 9th. And so I've got the registration information on the pages as well. I'm also going to be, along with our good buddy Ken, co-hosting on May 8th, May 7th. May 7th, the Tuesday Night Record Club at Monmouth, and I will have information on registering that, and that's free. We're going to be talking about Hard Day's Night album, and that's going to be fun. Really looking forward to that. That is absolutely free. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and we'll take you through that album. Finally, I guested recently on, if Ed Shen is still here, on his show When They Was Fab. We talked about the Around the Beatles TV special. A lot of fun. So do check out that episode on the When They Was Fab page. And I also have that link up on my page. Joe, were you going to?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That reminded me of something that we didn't think about. Did you see that there's brand new footage out, color footage of Around the Beatles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Heard about that.
Very and Ready, cool. Steady, Go as well. Mm-hmm. This whole movie footage.
Again, you know, people finding things in their bread box or their attic, you know, I mean, you're getting...
What the heck?
Yeah. Something going on here. Everybody's finding attic. Stuff in their attics and their basements now in the last year. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I've got nothing. Nothing.
Well, their garage, as they say over there.
Garage.
That's right, baby. Yeah. That's as Elton sings.
That's right.
So I'm sorry, kid.
I'm done. That was done? It.
Okay. Yep. Well, now we have Tom and Andy. And I'm just saying, if you guys have anything together you could talk about relating to Two Legs, be my guest. And then, you know, talk about your own side things that you have, if anything.
All right. Well, Two Legs. I mean, we're less than 20 away from getting to that 2K subscriber on our channel. So thank you to all the new subscribers and everybody that comments on the shows. We really appreciate it. Our last episode we dropped is about the transcripts from the Stephen Gaines and the Peter Brown book. Now look, not everything in this book is in the Love You Make book, but you know what, there's a lot of interviews that they conducted in what, from 79 to 81.
Yeah,
81, and a lot of, I mean, you know, Ringo, George, Maureen. I mean, how many interviews out there are of Maureen?
Even transcripts with Brian Epstein.
Yeah, exactly. So we covered the transcript from the McCartney interview, obviously. So we talked about that,
which is one of the most significant pieces of the whole book. It's like 40 pages, the McCartney interview.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, some interviews in that book are a page or two, but Paul's interview piece is long.
Right, right, as it should be.
Right.
But we talked about this book, the latest Luca book. We're reading that now, so you can expect Luca Prazzi to be back on our show talking. And he's also, there's something really, really cute that he did.
Chapter two?
Is I don't know if you can see that, but it has
Move it over. Two legs, wings smashed to pieces.
Oh, cute.
Thank you, Luca.
Thank you, Luca. But he'll be back on the show talking about this and then, you know, his future projects as well. So we look forward to that. We're also going to be doing a show here soon involving one of the secret shows. Andy, right, if you want to talk about that real quick.
Right. We're going to do a show with James and Tom Liverani, fans of all of our shows. We've met at the fest, and Joe Mantineo. All four of us were at the secret pop-up show at the Highland Ballroom in New York City in 2007, when Paul did those Secret Memory Almost Full pop-up shows. And we all queued up and waited all night to go to get tickets before I even knew those guys. They were there. We're going to do a show on that in May with those three guys and me and Tom as well. And which was really cool. It was a great experience, and we were all there. So that'll be a really cool show for May for us, for Two Legs.
Right. And we'll do another show concentrating on the iconic song series.
Yep.
We're also going to do a show on this, the one hand clapping. As you can see, Andy and I have been modeling the new Macaware throughout the show. Now, I'm sure Stella McCartney had nothing to do with these shirts or you know, but or this, they wouldn't have been affordable, that's for sure.
That's right.
But we'll be on the lookout for shows on one hand clapping, another episode in the iconic song series as well. So busy.
Yeah, very busy. And we have a lot cooking, and we might pop up live here and there. We've been live we've gone live a little bit. The last April was a hot month for us, obviously, with all the Beatle activity and stuff in Record Store Day and one hand clapping. So we went live quite a bit, which was nice to hop on, because we don't get a chance to do that as often, just given our schedules. So we were able to do that a lot this past month, which we really enjoyed. So look for our first news show, which will be episode number 246, which will drop on the 11th of May. So we'll go back to our normal rotation of taking the first weekend off, and we'll be back on the second Saturday of May for Two Legs.
Yep. There you go.
You're muted.
Okay, we're all good?
Yep, we're all good.
Okay.
One little thing we forgot about. Oh, we have to wish a very happy birthday to Klaus Voormann.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Who I believe is 83 today.
Wow.
Wow, he's a great guy.
Happy birthday, Klaus.
Happy birthday, Klaus. Yes. And okay, that's good news. So anyway, thank you all for being here. And this has been a lot of fun, Andy. I'm glad you were able to come up today.
Thank you for the invite. Talk More Talk.
Okay, so on behalf of Kid O'Toole, Tom Hunyadi, and Andy Nichols, I'm Joe Mayo saying, come on, folks, let's stand up, rise above the rain, start a revolution, but gentle one. In these dark days, because the weather was beautiful today, and I've had enough of February sky. Come on, summer. There we go.
Bye, everybody. Talk.